Last night, the candidates, John McCain and Barack Obama, sparred in a war of words, of course. And what do candidates do? They debate, they campaign, they also deliver memorable lines that go down in history sometimes. So who's the better commander of language in chief? This campaign season has seen some zingers from the presidential and vice presidential candidates. There's this one.
I love those hockey moms. You know, they say the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Lipstick.
Then there's a slightly more serious statement like this.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Of course, John F. Kennedy. Zingers, sound bites, and historical quotables that pass the test of time. Here to distinguish between all of those is our dear friend James Geary, who's a linguist, journalist, and author of The World in a Phrase, A History of the Aphorism, and Geary's Guide to the World's Greatest Aphorists. James, thanks for joining us from London.
My pleasure. Thank you.
First of all, would you call the hockey mom line of Sarah Palin an aphorism, a soundbite, or a memorable quote?
I would call it an aphorism, and it's one of those aphorisms that are very, very similar to jokes. And her aphorism about the pit bull and the lipstick is clearly a joke. She delivers the punchline. But aphorisms are, in many ways, very similar to jokes, shorn of everything but the punchline. There's a moment when you get an aphorism, just like you get a joke, and often it, just like a joke, an aphorism will reverse your expectations. So I would definitely classify Palin's joke as a full-fledged aphorism.
Now, who are some of your favorites? I mean, there are a lot of aphorisms. I mean, and we also like to think of ourselves as living in a sort of degraded, maybe we don't like to think of ourselves, but we tend to say that we live at a time of degraded discourse and that the greatest aphorists were down through history. What are some of your favorites?
Well, I think especially in politics with the trend towards everything being focused, grouped, and researched, I think the best aphorisms come from the gut, not necessarily the heart, but the gut. They're very punchy, they're very quick, they're very sharp, and often they're very, very cutting. And I think, as you saw in the debate last night, the candidates are loath to say anything too provocative, to say anything too challenging. But as the clip from JFK shows, it hasn't always been the case. And I think one of the great aphorists, who was also happened to be a U.S. president, is Harry Truman. And he was someone who spoke a lot off the cuff, and he had a very sort of folksy, down-home way of talking, sort of like Sarah Palin's manner. And a very appropriate aphorism of his is, it's a recession when your neighbor loses his job. It's a depression when you lose
right.
yours.
That's a great one. Yeah. That is a great one. You know, McCain last night used an aphorism in the debate, a very famous one from Teddy Roosevelt. Listen here.
You know, my hero is a guy named Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt used to say, walk softly, talk softly, but carry a big stick. Senator Obama likes to talk loudly.
Yeah, there he botches the aphorism and tries to work Obama in there. Well, what do you think of that moment?
That's a great moment, and I think that's it's a great example of how aphorisms work in daily life, not just for presidential candidates, but for everybody. Aphorisms are literally words of wisdom, words to live by. And, you know, McCain often cites Teddy Roosevelt, Ronald Reagan as his heroes. And that aphorism, talk softly, carry a big stick, becomes a sort of active principle in a person's mind. And that's what guides their policies. So I think that aphorism is a sort of very concise statement of what McCain's foreign policy would be.
James, does an aphorism only work if it sheds some kind of light or brings clarity to the point at hand?
Well, no. I think this is another reason why we don't hear so many aphorisms in political discourse. Is an aphorism is intended to be unsettling and to be provocative. And I think that's not necessarily what presidential candidates want to create in their listeners. And, you know, so the difference between an aphorism and a slogan, for example, a political slogan, something like change you can believe in, that's not an aphorism because it's sort of meaningless. It doesn't really have any content. Right. And that's done specifically by design.
Are you saying that Barack Obama is meaningless, James? His slogan is just plain pointless.
No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that eloquence can often get in the way of a good aphorism.
Well, you know,
someone like Obama, who tends to—I mean, he's toned it down a lot since the primaries, but he can veer into sort of lecturing and become very professorial. And that's not the ideal situation in which to deliver an aphorism, because an aphorism has a short, sharp shock,
right.
Like, you know, talk softly but carry a big stick.
Well, sometimes aphorisms can get in the way of your candidacy. I actually thought during the primary campaign, Huckabee had some really interesting zingers here. Listen to this one, James.
The question was, from the viewer, was, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus support the death penalty?
Jesus was too smart to ever run for public office, Anderson. That's what Jesus would do.
That's
a wonderful example of the way that, you know, really good aphorists are so quick on their feet that they will just deliver a remark like that off the cuff. And I think that's a quality that a lot of politicians in the past had, Harry Truman, Teddy Roosevelt certainly, and that politicians today, they want to tone down and control, because you don't want to be saying, you know, everything's been so choreographed that you don't want to veer off the script and say something that might offend your base or, you know, put off swing voters and things like that. But that's a great remark.
All right, here's one more from Huckabee. I can't resist this one.
It ought to be at least as difficult to get across an international border as it is to get on an airplane in our own hometown.
Now, he's talking about immigration policy. He's trying to put together a snappy phrase. It's in his commercial. Any chance that will make the aphorism pass the aphorism test?
It's a little too specific. I mean, it's right. As you said, it's about a specific issue. And I think the greatest aphorisms are universally applicable in any time. Even if they occur in the context of a specific historical situation, they still will apply outside that. And if you listen, I mean, thinking back to last night's debate, in my opinion, the best aphorism of the night and one of the best of the campaign so far was the question that was delivered at the very, very end by a woman in New Hampshire.
All right, let's
what
listen
don't
to
you
it.
Know?
Let's
oh, you have
let's
it.
Let's listen
tape.
To it. Yeah, we have it right
okay,
here.
Okay, great.
Gentlemen, we've come to the last question from Peggy in Amherst, New Hampshire. It has a certain Zen-like quality. I'll give you a fair warning. She says, what don't you know, and how will you learn it?
You know, it's like, Brokaw, get out of the way. She knows what she's saying. That was great. Peggy in Amherst. Why do you like that one?
Because I think the virtue of aphorisms is they make you question your assumptions and your beliefs. And I think given the unprecedented challenges that were economically, politically, that the whole world is going through now, I think aphorisms, what they tend to do is make you question things. And by questioning long-held assumptions, to lead you to potentially new solutions and new ideas.
That's great.
And I think it's interesting to note that neither candidate answered that question. They
both
immediately went into, you know, yep. I was raised by a single
right.
mom and
there
I know I served in Vietnam. They went back on their, you know, the old biographical American dream bit.
The unanswerable question, what don't you know and how will you learn it? James Geary, thanks so much for being with us. Linguist, journalist, author of The World in a Phrase, A History of the Aphorism. Thanks, James.
Thank you.